Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 5, 1887 to 1888. Diary, June and July 1887. England, June 28th to July 11th, 1887. Portions of this manuscript are published in 2MR, 138 to 142, 6MR, 123, EGWE, 307 to 308, 311. Third visit to England. I could not sleep past 3 o'clock. We took our dry luncheon at 6 o'clock. It is cloudy, rained in the night. We changed the cars for the boat Melchior, and in 1 hour and a half landed at Copenhagen. Took hack for Edwin Olsen's. Here his wife received us and provided for us a palatable dinner which we all enjoyed very much. I had a long talk with Brother Ottesen and his intended, separately, in reference to marriage. We advised their engagement to be given up, for many reasons. We could not see how they would better their conditions or glorify God. Both have a stern trial before them. May God give them wisdom to move in His fear to His glory. At 6 we took the hack for the cars and were well situated in a compartment to ourselves. We changed at 10 for the boat. The water was calm, so that we could scarcely perceive we were on a boat, but I spent a sleepless night. We arrived at Kiel at 6. Took cars for Hamburg, where we had one sour-looking man on the cars with us, who was deprived of smoking on our account, which made him cross and ugly. He soon left our car, and we arrived at Hamburg. Tarried 2 hours and took the cars at 10 for Flushing. We passed through a portion of Germany and Holland. We here took our last view of the Rhine. We took the steamer Princess Elizabeth at 10 to cross the Channel to England. It was a large boat. We had second-class tickets, and a great difference was made in the accommodations of passengers. We were shown into a saloon where were about 12 berths, and the portholes were closed, and the beds were hard, and the prospect was altogether most uncomfortable. We were told that by paying £1, Sister Ings and I could have a first-class stateroom, but we declined paying this extra sum. With pillows and my fur, my hard bed was made as pleasant as possible, and I slept quite well during the night. Before any were up, I arose at 4 and dressed, and longed to get out of the stifling atmosphere and on deck. We had a pleasant voyage. We were not seasick at all. About 6 o'clock, we changed from boat to cars, and then we took our dry lunch. We arrived at London about 8 o'clock. Took hack 3 miles across the city and were obliged to wait 1 hour. About 9 o'clock, we stepped on board the third-class car for Kettering on the fast train which brought us to Kettering at 11:30. Brother Durland was waiting for us, and he took us to his home, where we were welcomed by Sister Durland. July 1st, 1887. Kettering, England. We slept but little the past night. Suffered with heat. We have fair weather in England this time of the year. I arose at 4. Have been awake since 3 o'clock. Engaged in writing. Corrected several morning talks given in Basel. We learned here that the party who left Christiania, Elder Wagoner, W.C. White, Elder Whitney, Elder Haskell, were all very sick. They had a very rough passage on the Baltic Sea. W.C. White did not go to Basel as we expected, but he went to England and was in London. Would be at Kettering in the afternoon. We walked out and did some purchasing in the city in the great marketplace. Purchased shoes, Sister Ings and I. Brother Lane arrived about 1 o'clock. We were glad to see him. W.C. White arrived just before sundown. We were glad to meet him again. Visited until about 10. July 2nd, 1887. Kettering, England. Sabbath morning. It is a very warm morning. I have not been able to sleep since 3:30. I engaged in writing. I feel deeply the need of special help from God in seeking to win souls to Jesus Christ. Without me, says Christ, ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. How weak we are in our own finite strength. We want to work for the Master. I want to please Jesus, who has loved me, who has died for me. There is an unutterable longing of soul for the sweet, constant peace of Christ. I want Jesus in my thoughts continually. At 10 o'clock, the carriage came to take us to the place of meeting. It is a good-sized hall. Its walls are iron, and the hot sun resting upon it made it seem like an oven. We had about 50 assembled. I spoke to them from Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 4. Although the heat was very great, the Lord gave me much freedom in speaking. At 12, the carriage was at the door, and we returned to our home with deep and earnest yearning of heart for the dear people whom we had addressed. We knew that many must have a true conversion to God, or they would not be able to keep the truth or to withstand temptation. At 3, we again spoke to the church in Kettering, from Matthew 22, verse 11 to 14. This was a most solemn subject, and the Lord impressed my heart with the terrible fate of the ones who, when Jesus shall come to examine his guests, he shall find without the wedding garment on. I think many were impressed. After the discourse, there was a social meeting and many testimonies born, but I felt that souls were in peril. Souls were undecided, and I urged that those who were not fully on the Lord's side should make decisions that day, should break the chains of the powers of Satan and be wholly the Lord's. I gave opportunity for these to come forward. Quite a little number came forward. Among them were two very interesting cases, a man and his wife, still quite young. He was a master workman and overseer of hands who were engaged in building. He was intemperate, often drunk for days together. He had a good, noble-looking countenance, but this was his great weakness. He had formed the habit of intemperance, and the demon of appetite controlled him, and his moral power seemed too feeble to overcome this appetite. His wife was a proud, worldly-loving woman. Both were convinced of the truth, but neither knew what experimental religion was. These souls I know needed Jesus, needed him just then to help them, else they would never have strength to overcome the world and the perverted appetite, and to walk the path of humble obedience. We had a praying season for these souls, and then invited them to speak freely, and this would give them strength. We know that the Lord had been chastising them to bring them near to him. Two lovely children had recently sickened and died, which was a terrible blow to them, and softened their hearts, and awakened in them a desire to be different from what they were. Both bore testimony, and with much simplicity and deep feeling told their determination. And we must leave them in the hands of God for him to lead, for him to guide. He will do this if they will only submit themselves to him as to a faithful creator. Oh, what a terrible curse is intemperance! July 3, 1887, Kettering, England. We did not return early. Arose at 4:45 and find we have another warm day. Willie left for London at 9. I spoke to the church and to outsiders Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. The hall was good-sized, but without proper ventilation, very uncomfortable and warm. Had some freedom in speaking. Quite a number of unbelievers were present. I know that they will have trouble in the church because of the elements here that are turbulent. Some are ignorant, undisciplined, self-important, and unmanageable. There is a general holiday for the shoe dealers and workers of all classes, and it is a general scene of drinking, carousing, and low, debasing indulgences. This holiday is made a curse to the people rather than a blessing, because it is considered a special opportunity to spend money, and in the place of being a blessing, it is a curse. July 4, 1887, London. We left Kettering about 9, reached London in about 2 hours. We again met our brethren and sisters who were soon to leave for South Africa. July 5, 1887, London. We took the train for Holloway. It is a pretty village in the suburbs of London. We found not as much squalor and poverty as in London. We called at the house occupied by our sisters who were giving Bible readings and trying to get access to the higher classes. We found them well situated and doing what they can in fitting up for the work. We called on Sister Marsh, who has kept the Sabbath quite a number of years. Her husband is a warden in the prison. They live close by the prison. It looked sad indeed to see the large number of prisoners taking their half-hour exercise within the glowering prison walls, guarded at every step with officers. We had a little meeting with our friends going to South Africa and some plain talk about how the work should be commenced and carried forward in their new field. We had a praying season, and the Spirit of the Lord came into our midst. We knew it was our parting meeting. July 6, 1887, London. We went into the city to do some trading, then took a carriage and went to the boat to see our brethren and sisters off for Africa. We could not restrain our tears as we parted with them, not knowing that we should ever meet them again in this life, and not knowing to what they would be subjected in becoming established in their far-off new field of labor. I returned from the boat with many sad impressions. July 7, 1887. London. Continued in the hotel writing important matter. Did some trading. Had a long talk with Elder Haskell upon many important matters connected with the work. July 8, 1887. Left London in company with Brother and Sister Ings for Southampton on fast train. I lay down most of the way and slept some. We were about 2 hours and a half reaching Southampton. We met Sister Phipson and took dinner with her. She lives in a good-sized hired apartment, and her mother lives with her. She is a great sufferer with collection of stones in kidneys and liver. Elder Haskell came on a later train. He spoke Friday evening in the hall hired for meetings. July 9, 1887, Southampton, England. I spoke to the little church on Sabbath afternoon. It was very warm. Had some freedom in speaking. We had a social meeting. July 11, 1887, Southampton, England. Elder Haskell spoke in forenoon. Not many outsiders present. In the afternoon, had a much larger number out. I spoke to the people at 5 p.m. Let not your heart be troubled, etc. John 14, verse 1. The Lord helped me to speak, else I could not have done so. The halls in England are very badly constructed. Ventilation can be obtained only in the top of the building, and the lower part of the building cannot be purified or receive the air. My head felt as though it were in an oven. The people listened with attention. One lady came and spoke to me, requesting an interview with me, for which a time was set. July 11, 1887, Southampton. Elder Ings, Sister Ings, and I took the steamer for the Isle of Wight. The day was a little cloudy at first, but the clouds dispersed, and we had very pleasant weather. Brother Sargent lives with his family on the island. They are indeed children of God, keeping the Sabbath with all fidelity. Have kept the Sabbath for 6 years. His work is a captain of ships. The Sabbath has shut him out of positions more profitable, but he rejoices in the truth. We purchased strawberries and bread, and Sister Phipson, Sister Ings, and I were seated in full view of the water and took our lunch. The Isle of Wight is a beautiful place. After we had taken refreshments, Brother Sargent took us across the bay in his rowboat, and we visited his family. They have a numerous little flock. We had a pleasant visit and then had a season of prayer with them. It was a precious season. We said farewell, never expecting to meet again until we shall meet in the judgment. We hired a hack, which took us to important places of interest, to the Queen's Palace, and to the chapel where she attends religious service. We saw the chair where she sits, with her family around her, in an alcove where she cannot be observed by the congregation, not only for her own safety, but that all eyes will not be attracted to her. This church is for the nobility of the king's household.